Boom, it's Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Brought to you live Saturday night, September 16th, 2006. Before I bring on our guest, Psychic Jeannie Wilson, I want to make a few announcements. We've been doing, as you know, a lot of investigations into the 9/11 incident. And if you look at my bio page, I'm going to have a lot of really interesting things posted there really quick. And fortunately, the other night when the show got messed up, the other Friday afternoon, when the show got messed up, there was an FTP loading error, because in that I had predicted back in 94 the entire 9/11 incident, so you'll hear it live for the first time. So check out what we're posting up there. Now, we're going to rerun, oh, by the way, we're going to rerun that next Friday, that whole segment again, so you can all hear it. So anyhow, now I'd like to announce a psychic. Her name is Jeannie Wilson. She does astrology and a whole bunch of different things. I think she does studies into soulmates and twin flames and all that kind of stuff, which is what I really enjoy. So, Jeannie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
How are you doing tonight? Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're calling from Colorado, right?
Yes, I'm in the Denver, Colorado area,
yeah.
And I've been a psychic since I was about 18 years old, pretty young.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And seeing as you're only 21 now, it's 3 years. I like
no.
Huh?
No, I'm not that young.
Carl Brennan got your bio wrong. He said you were a hot 21-year-old psychic. Well, you sure look good on your website. I looked at your website.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about how you got into this business.
Well, I took a lot of classes when I was 18 years old because throughout my life, my parents noticed I had abilities and knew things about people.
How did they notice that?
They noticed that I just,
anyway.
They told me when I was 5 or 6 years old, I knew when things were going to happen, particularly with relationships with people.
Right.
And I'm a Libra, so I think that I really am interested in relationships naturally, and maybe that's why it came out in that form as a child.
Right. I like that. Keep going.
And okay. By the time I got to high school, it got stronger, and it scared me because I knew when people were going to die. I would get a very, very bad feeling and know that something was going to happen, and sure enough, within an hour or two, someone would pass on.
Wait, within an hour?
Yes.
And how did you get the news so quick? Later, when it had, you know, when it was.
Yes, later when it happened, just, you know, news would come out. Oh, did you hear so and so's father died?
Yeah.
And I always tell people, I believe when psychic ability first comes through, it comes in the form of negative, and we have to learn to bring the positive through and not let the negative come through unless we really want to pick it up. So I've taught that to my students.
Yeah, but I want to tell you, so I want to share something with you. I don't think even my listeners out there know this, but. When I was a kid, I had my first encounter with an alien known as a gray. I was about 6 years old. And when I was about 9 or 10 years old, adults would attack me. I could never look at a grown-up, they call them grown-ups, in the face, because they'd attack me, sometimes physically. And what I found out later was that when they looked into my eyes, I had these strange green eyes color, you know, it's kind of weird.
Yes.
They would see their future. They would absolutely see, somehow or other psychically, they would see their future. And it was real interesting because I went to work for the federal government when I was 14. I had a secret clearance, and I was officially in the government on MK Ultra when I was 16 years old. And I know you don't know this about me. I'm just sharing this with you. And it was really interesting because later on, Steven Spielberg made a movie called Taken. It was a 20-hour miniseries. In the third episode, they had an episode there called Jesse and Jacob, and it was about these kids getting attacked by adults when they would look into their eyes and see their futures. And this power, you know, it went with me for a long time, and it gradually, I remember the last time I was attacked, Mr. Henderson, my high school teacher, hit me over the head with a book for looking at him in the face with the wrong attitude, he said. He'd have gone to jail today. So I had a real serious, this is what we're talking about negative here, I had a real serious experience understanding why I was different. I knew I was a little bit more smarter than most people, but that was no big deal. I was different, you know. So when you say you had this ability and your parents see it, I mean, I just see a brotherhood, sisterhood in as we start the show kind of thing. Just so, you know, makes communication, at least for me, more comfortable when I share that. I didn't mean to interrupt what you were saying.
Oh, that's okay. No, I understand. My grandmother had a lot of ability, and that's why I believe my parents accepted it.
Yeah.
Because they had been around it every day and didn't think too much about it because she always knew things.
And my grandmother Florence, who died when she was 50, also had it. Yeah, go ahead. I think it somehow runs in families,
but or maybe our soul is just comfortable going into a family where somebody is going to understand and accept us.
Right, yeah. As we incarnated, right.
I believe we do choose our families.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. My feeling is that sometimes, I don't know when exactly before a woman gets pregnant, but choosing a family, the chooser, starts hovering usually over the female more than the male. That's my feeling. I don't know.
I agree with that. I do.
Yeah, and what happens is the female will attempt to get pregnant, and hopefully she does. Or on the other hand, the soul is hovering and has chosen the female, maybe because of a past life or something, and the woman doesn't want to get pregnant, but gets pregnant anyway and has abortions and stuff. So then I guess the soul will get discouraged and go off and get the second choice.
I believe that they'll find another family if they're aborted.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. These are two things that I have noticed. Now, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess I was prompted to start studying and taking classes on my own because I went to see a psychic, and I was very impressed.
Yeah.
I felt good with what she told me. She made me just feel really good, and it was like, hey, I want to do that.
Yeah, no, that's way cool. How old? This is when you're like
18 years old.
18, cool.
I saw my first psychic who read me.
Were you up there in Colorado doing all this?
Yes, in the Denver area.
Okay. I just have to know that for some strange reason.
Okay.
Mountain, you're 5,000 feet. You're a mile-high girl, you know, a mile high up there.
Right.
Tesla was down the road, you know, in Colorado Springs. Yeah, that's good. I like it up there.
And, you know, I always knew I wanted to help people in some capacity. I knew this as a child. I even thought about being a social worker.
Yeah.
But being a Libra, I was afraid I would not be able to withstand seeing a lot of sadness all the time. Libras want everything pretty around them.
Oh, okay. I didn't
know
that.
So it would be very hard for me to see abuse every day.
Yeah, no, that's really good.
So I believe I found a different way to reach people and to see into their lives and to help them and counsel them through what I see and feel about their life.
Right.
But it's not as heavy duty as being a psychiatrist or a social worker.
Yeah, I agree. You know, psychiatry is a field oriented on drugs. I don't really go for it because they just cover up problems that come out later in other ways. And social worker is totally cool occupation. I do volunteer work for different social groups around here, charity groups in my area here. So I think that's important.
I think we're all here to heal and help people in some way.
I agree.
And we find our calling. I believe everyone has a certain healing energy, and I'm very much into energy.
Yeah. Well,
I believe in white light and energy.
You know that?
Excuse me?
Your voice is awesome. Boy, are you an elevator going up? I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You really have a really good upbeat vibe. You know, I really like your energy. So go ahead.
It might be because I do energy work.
Boy, I can feel it.
So
right
you
now.
Feel that, maybe?
Send a little energy over to Don at BBS Radio. He's been working the board all day long. Send Don a little energy.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, good. Don, you feeling that? You will soon.
He will.
Well, tell me more. So what happened next?
Well, I went ahead and took courses in everything and continued to get readings myself.
Yeah, and what were your readings telling you? What kind of readings? Were they conflicting, or were they pretty much along the same vein?
No, they were pretty typical. People would say, you do have this ability, you should do a lot with it, you're going to be successful as a psychic, as an astrologer, this will be your career path. And they all turned out to be correct. They did. That is the path I chose, and it worked out for me.
I think that's great. So then what happened?
And I was amazed the first time I went to an astrologer and she said that to me. She said, you will be famous and you will be in the media. And I was like, wow. And she turned out to be right. So it was very impressive.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about your media fame.
How I got into radio?
Yeah.
I did a show called The Denver Tonight Show, which was a live stage show.
Yeah.
And I had some radio people come there to host it one night.
Yeah.
And that's where they discovered me, and they said, we'd like to have you on the radio. But what was funny was just a few days before I had said a prayer, and I had asked that people be presented to me to get me on the best radio station for me in Denver, and within 7 days, there they were.
Wow. Now, were you doing readings over the airwaves? What kind of show did you have?
I've done a lot of morning show work, and so that was a morning show called Q103 in Denver back then in the 80s.
Yeah.
And just a lot of listener call-in.
What were your subjects? What were you talking about?
Well, it wasn't really subjects. It was in between the music, and people would call for entertainment and say, do you see me meeting a man? Will I get married?
Cool.
Will I lose my job?
That's kind of subtle. Yeah, I like that.
And that's what I still do a lot of. I do stations around the country. It's a lot of morning show work where they have me on as a guest, and people call in.
Hey, I'm going to ask you something. Does anybody, any girl ever call in and say, do you see me meeting a man soon? You have to tell them, no.
I do have to say that sometimes. I try to be very honest, but buffer it. I try to say it diplomatically.
Yeah, well,
but sometimes I have to say, I'm just so sorry. I hope I'm wrong, but you won't meet a man that you really like for 2 years.
Yeah, well, that's not too bad. It means they got to do some personal cleansing, right?
Yes, and I tell them, go ahead and date, have fun. Maybe you have some learning lessons left. Sometimes I've had to tell people that I don't see them ever getting married again unless they drastically do something to change that path.
Way cool. How'd your ratings go on that one?
I don't know. It was usually just one question here and there. I'm glad it's not every caller.
Wild, crazy show attitude. I love it.
But no, I do try to just give them what I get. I think a psychic has to be careful how they say things, though, not to scare people.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Because if people were really, 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 really confident within their own nature, they wouldn't use the psychic. So I think there's a part of them that needs a little healing, and that's what you do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you got to deal with the cause of the disease, not the disease itself.
I find that fascinating. So you feel only insecure people use psychics?
No, not at all. But I feel that, I feel a lot of people do use it that are insecure.
Okay.
I also feel that very, 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 very secure people do, too. Like maybe the Reagans. You know, Nancy Reagan, I think, was very secure, but she was also using psychics. So, no, it's a two-edged sword. But I have to explore both sides of it, you know.
Okay, all right.
Is that fair?
That is fair. And a lot of times people do call me in a panic when they're in their worst moment. They think of calling me.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's way cool. I mean, that is totally extraordinary, you know, because I know you have a very active deal with all of this. So tell us about some of the more profound things that you've done with readings without bringing up specific client information. Anything profound that you ever see, or just like something way out there that was almost impossible, like, yeah, not just like money, but some weirdly weird success that you saw and then it happened to somebody? Is there any stories like that?
Oh, boy, I have like 50 going through my mind all at once here.
Yeah, give us a couple of those.
I mean,
you know, on your media progression, you reached Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, and I don't know if that's a step up or a step down, but you're here.
I'm told it's up there. I'm told very good things about you.
Oh, boy, now, is that like...
That you're the founder of all of this.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was back in 77, yeah, when we started the New Life Expo in New York City in Central Park. That was the first, I think that actually started the unity of all of this.
Okay.
I think it was already, it's you know, like back in the, you know, the Beatnik days before that, and Lenny Bruce, who was a comedian that kept going to jail for saying, you know, simple four-word vernaculars on the air, and today it's like, what he said was nothing. The kids say it that in 6 years old, you know, I mean. So life has changed a lot.
It has, but somebody had to open the movement.
Yeah, well, it was a bunch of us.
You were an energetic opening. That's what I'd call that.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. It was really interesting, but go ahead.
Well, what first came to mind when you asked the question actually was a couple times when people were missing. I was so happy that I was accurate later.
Whoa,
when
that,
the truth
like
came out.
A child or something?
Yes, like
oh,
there was a girl missing in Colorado, Beth Miller.
Okay, I think I'm, yeah.
And I remember that, you know, she turned up missing back in the 80s, and I really did feel like her spirit came and spoke to me.
Wow.
And she said, I am dead.
Wow.
And that is absolutely what they found many, many years later. The only thing that was unfortunate, one time we went looking, trying to find the spot where maybe she was buried, and I think I got close but didn't hit it. Years later when it came out, it sounded like it was pretty close to the location.
Yeah.
I kept seeing a yield sign in my mind. That's all I could get is up a hill or a mountain from a yield sign on a highway or a road.
Right.
And so we went looking and tried, and then I just finally gave up. But later on, I guess they finally had someone confess and found her body, and pretty much everything I had picked up turned out to be true when the facts came out, and that made me feel really good that I really was in touch with her.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And, you know, it's a real great feeling of humility that you have to put yourself in to get that kind of remote viewing going.
Yes.
You really have to, you know, I've done a little of it in my time, but you really got to clean up your own act and somehow and forgive yourself of everything and just really become that person to find them. So that's amazing. And the fact that you got close, that's really amazing. Because I know there's thousands and thousands of wannabes out there that never even get close. You know what I mean?
Yes. Now, I can't say I'm right on every case, though. Again, I believe maybe certain ones come to us.
Yeah, yeah, when they're supposed to.
Now, with the JonBenet Ramsey case.
Yeah, tell us about that. That's what we want to talk about.
Right. What's my theory on that, you're going to ask, right?
Well, I'm going to, but I'm going to let you ask it first, so go ahead.
Right away when I saw on the TV about this John Michael Carr, you know, confessing, I did not feel...
Yeah.
That he had done it, but I felt he knew the person that did, like he had had contact with the person.
That, you know what, I sort of believe that's the first time I've ever heard that. You know, all these theories have been thrown around MSNBC, and you know what, that's the most sensible thing I've heard in the case so far.
I feel like he had contact and tried to take the glory for doing it.
Yeah, yeah, because he had had the that was his verification. And maybe, there was the other thing in the JonBenet case was that... you know, there was some stuff in the handwriting was sort of close, and if he knew the guy, he could have copied the handwriting.
Yes.
And anybody can copy handwriting if you practice long enough and get some of it right, as they said in the thing. And the other thing was he knew a few things that happened in the crime itself that was never in the news or in the records or blah, blah, blah. And I think that's what got the Denver DA to spend the plane ticket to bring him over from Thailand. Some things that were never brought out in the media, and the Denver DA decided to keep it quiet because they didn't want those particular facts coming out because that might antagonize more of these frauds to come forward.
Right.
That was kind of why I think she took it, you know, she took the bit the bullet because that lady over there, I don't know, that's your area. She seemed, the lead investigator, the lead district attorney, seems like a very humble, caring person.
I get that too.
Yeah, that's what I
when got. I watch her, yes.
So I'm just backing up what you said. So where do you think this person is? Now let's just go into your abilities.
That's the next thing. I feel the person is dead.
That did this deed.
Yes, I feel whoever killed her is dead already.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that turns out to be true and I'm right in the future here.
Yeah, no, that's right. Right here on BBS Radio, you heard that. And you know what? I've seen cases where there are people, I mean, this was a very dastardly case, what they did to this poor innocent girl.
Yes.
And then on top of that, her parents took hell for, you know, doing her in those beauty contests, which were a little bit risque for the thought, you know, the thought form of the ages when she was doing it. Today, it would be no big deal. But back in the 80s, it was a big deal, despite, as far as I can recollect. So from that, I've been able to deduce that the person that did this had some very heavy karma on not only killing this girl in a very bad way, but also putting this horrible blast on the parents and the community and everything else. So that to me would put out a big message. Any local people dying soon, bad accidents, here's the person. He'd be walking around with a flashing arrow on his head. That you know what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
That's my karmic view of it. I mean, that's a little crazy, but that's how I feel about it.
I used to feel bad when I would see them on TV because I felt they were innocent, and I really concentrated hard, and I wanted to see the truth, and I just kept getting, no, they didn't do it.
Yeah. Now, the father... JonBenet's father, he had been accused of some sex acts with kids or something. Do you know much about that at all?
No, I didn't even get that information.
Yeah, that I had heard that. I was wondering if you'd had gotten any of that information.
No. Did that come out in the news, or do you mean you picked it up psychically?
It came out a long time ago in the news, but then it got suppressed, and I don't even know what the source of it was, but I did hear it in the news. It's been brought up to me a couple of times that he has a bit of a wavered past.
Okay.
You know, But still, I wouldn't have thought that he would do anything, you know, to harm his daughter.
No, I don't. I don't feel he did anything to her.
Yeah. So that was. So what else is there, anything else going on since, you know, locally, from the repercussions from that, since they turned him back to Los Angeles for some other prosecuting? Is
no, it's like everything here has died down now. It seems kind of quiet.
Okay. So now going on to the next. See, I'm not trying to get hung up in one thing, but that is a big subject.
Those are the subjects that came up when you said, well, is there anything amazing you...
Yeah, try another one. Do another one. So I still have more questions, but I want to, you know, get to, how about another
I mean,
one?
I have the typical things, of course. I have regular clients that I've had for years, you know, that I have a track record with, and that's why they come back to me.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, yes, I have seen their success or known they get a particular job with a big raise and... Typical things like that. A lot of marriages that I've seen.
Do you ever have any clients that ask you questions about extraterrestrial experiences?
Not really. Not too many. Maybe I just don't draw them in because I don't do a lot with that myself. I think we draw who we are.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. What kind of other unusual experiences do you have?
I have a client that's so happy he lived, and I got to tell him the story of what happened.
Yeah.
He was supposed to do an appointment with me in May of 2005. He had his regular monthly appointment for years, and he wasn't there when I called. His phone was shut down, actually, like turned off. And I just knew something was terribly wrong, and I went to sleep, and it was about 2 days later. It wasn't that day.
Right.
And I was awakened by this big white man, like a big white ghost, but he was a big man, tapping me on the shoulder.
Wow.
And at first I was scared, but I looked at him and a warmth went through my body and I knew he wasn't there to hurt me. And then I knew who he was. I instantly knew it was him.
Right.
And I knew his spirit was trying to tell me, I know you're worried about me. Here I am. And then I spoke to some people he knew about a week after that. I finally called and they said that they had found him on the floor paralyzed, that he had been on the floor a day and a half in his home. Somebody finally went over there and found him.
So do you think that he was going through the paralysis while you, at the same time you were seeing him?
Yes, like his spirit came to tell me, yes.
It's not uncommon with siblings. One is older than the other, and one of them will pass, and the other one will have a vision of that passing. Or sometimes I've seen it with older fathers when the younger daughter, you know, the father dies, he's like 90 or 100 or something, and then the daughter will see him, and it's almost synchronous, the visitation versus the passing. So I think that's pretty cool that you actually had those kinds of experiences.
And it was neat because his soul obviously went back to his body and he lived instead of passing on.
Yeah.
I've had that happen with people who have actually died and they were gone, but this was the first time that someone came and then they actually turned around and lived, so it was amazing.
Yeah.
And he loves the story. He says hearing the story gave him the will to go on.
Yeah. Well, I have a funny story like that. My grandmother, Florence, I was a singer in Presbyterian, St. John's Presbyterian Church back in Buffalo, New York, Choir 52. And when my grandmother passed on over, she heard Choir 52. My grandfather was on her deathbed, and I was down in Missouri at the time as a young kid. Well, later on, a few years later, my grandfather had a colectomy operation in Buffalo and died from it. I mean, they thought they lost him when they put him in a body bag. And 8 hours later, he was revived. He came, somebody checked it, and he was trying to get out of the bag, and he'd come back to life. And he was the first, this is back in the early 50s, his name was Donald Bell. And
it was the first
thing that was like recorded news-wise worldwide of a person ending up in a body bag after being, you know, pronounced dead in a morgue for 8 hours. And so he called for me, and I went up to Buffalo, I was in Missouri, I flew up there to see him. You know, he was, pretty healthy by then, and he said that he had an experience that he'd gone to the other side. He would bit with his ex-wife, Florence, or the Angels, in Choir 52. That was in Choir, the number that we sang in. So I guess that's how they pushed it over the other side. So he had this great time, and he said he thought he was going to stay with her, but he said, no, she had to, he had to go back. And he didn't want to go back, but he did go back, and the reason he came back was so that I could go up there, and he taught me all kinds of stuff, spiritual stuff. In fact, I can say she was like a saint, this grandmother of mine, like the grandmother you're talking about,
yeah,
with abilities. And so so he lived another 15, 20 years, and I'm sure afterwards he went back, but he'd been dead 8 hours. So I think, yeah, so I had, that's kind of a, we have a lot of parallel experiences. I think this is kind of cool. You know?
It is, the
probably
synchronicity, right?
On the air as a host, I like to have my guests take the time, but you're exciting me here, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Now, I want to just change the subject a little bit and switch over to astrology. You do some work in astrology?
Yes, I can read astrology charts, natal charts, predictions that way also through the transits. Also, I set up election charts, which a lot of people don't even know about.
No, I don't know about. Tell me about election charts.
Now, the Reagans got famous for using that when they set up the inauguration on a good chart back in the 80s.
Right.
And an election chart is when you put the planet, you go for a good day when the planets are lined up a certain way.
Right.
And you use that to get married on or to open a business or have an inauguration or mail a letter or whatever.
Right.
And those of us who believe in astrology really believe it brings luck to the situation.
Yeah, I've always thought of astrology as a series of events that happen planetary-wise and astrally that create certain hormonal secretions in all of humanity, which then creates electrical impulses, which actually forms the event. And I believe there's a great synchronicity between the forming of the aura field by the endocrine glands, the hormones in the body.
I like that theory. I haven't heard that before. I like it.
Yeah, well, let's put it in a nutshell really fast. Your body combines protein to make a hormone. The hormone is the first unit of conscious, biomaterial mass to have consciousness. So the hormone, anytime it goes to a receptor site in the brain, produces consciousness. Now, an example of that would be if you love someone, well, that's the heart. The heart then will have a thymus gland if you're feeling love for someone, a child or whatever, and the thymus hormone content goes up in the body, creating those feelings of love. If you're having sex, obviously, it's the testosterone-estrogen reactions. You know, if it's you want to go jogging, it's the sacral area of the body, the corticosteroids. So if you have all of this coming up, this gets orchestrated. There's these seven different feelings, you know. So they come up, and they're orchestrated in our aura field, which then produces an electrical etheric field, which is like we call it's actually in physics, it's movement of neutrons. In metaphysics, it's just the etheric body. You follow me?
Yes.
So that creates, if there's two or three of us have an idea, we could start a church, or four or five of us. You know, I mean, because it compounds. You know, Christ kind of like made 12 people make the ultimate series of multipliers to get his point across, which I think worked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same kind of a deal. So what happens is when astrology comes in, this internal modulation process is going on, and certain individuals can be subconsciously stimulated, other people it goes with what they want to happen anyway. So that then creates a complete energy field around the Earth, and the Earth, of course, bounces off the other planets, and it all filters down, and you're able to predict that whole, you know, physics movement, which is really brilliant. You know, I've always thought astrologers that know what they're doing are brilliant, because I know how the energy fields work, but I don't know the particulars. I need a data report. You know what I mean? It's like I can put the steam in the engine and make it run, but I don't know how the schedule of the train, where it's going.
Well, with astrology is very psychological. All the meanings are very psychological with the planets.
Right.
So you have to know how to use that and what to use them for.
Yeah. So there's always this one thing that Mercury's in retrograde when things seem to be going wrong.
Yes, everybody's afraid of that one.
Now, I don't know. What does that mean?
It's amazing, but it tends to work. I always say, boy, why does that happen? Just by that planet slowing down, which is the planet of communication,
right,
and transportation,
right,
everything goes crazy.
Yeah. And it's
people miscommunicate. They take things wrong. They have car accidents. The train gets a wrong signal. All these wrecks and crashes just because Mercury's retrograde, and yet I see it all the time.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I now I understand it better. What's the next thing after that happens all the time? Second on the list.
Well, Mercury actually only goes retrograde four times a year.
Oh, okay.
For 3 weeks. Okay, so it's not constant, thank God, or we'd live like that, I guess, all the time.
Okay, now what about the opposite of that? What about when everything, there's certain days when I get, there's certain days I get up and screw, you know, try to do everything right and screw it all up anyway. And there's other days I get up and I would try to screw everything up and it goes perfectly like a watch. So what's going on there? When I have a perfect day, even though I'm trying to wreck it.
That can be just a quick moving transit because some of the planets move 1 degree a day.
Oh, okay.
So it could just be that Mars hit something wrong that day.
Oh, okay. Mars.
And to tell you the truth, do I look at my stuff on a daily basis? No. I like to look at anybody's astrology more from what the big planets are doing, the ones that move more slowly because they cause the subtle changes.
Wow, you're really brilliant at this. I'm learning. I've never understood astrology like you're teaching.
Oh, okay.
So Jupiter and Saturn are obviously big deals here.
Yes, Jupiter and Saturn and Pluto and Neptune and Uranus really do cause those subtle changes, and they can happen anywhere from 6 months to 2.5 years.
Wow.
Pluto will take about 2.5 years to cause those changes, but boy, when it's done with something, you're a different person.
Wow.
Because it'll break down all control and make you let go of whatever you're trying to control. So when we get a major Pluto transit, it's like, oh, I really have to warn people, you have to let go of control.
Okay,
quit trying to control this.
I'm a real control freak.
Are you?
Yeah, so not in a negative way. It's just I run a lot of things. I do businesses and all kinds of stuff. And so I have a lot of people that I have to make a paycheck for. And if they don't, you know, if I make a bad move, then it hurts the business, and then they it hurts them. So that's what I'm talking about. And the good thing. So how are we doing now? Where are we headed? Are we headed towards a good control freak day or a bad one?
Well, any planet can be used for good. Pluto absolutely can.
Yeah.
Or a person who's a Scorpio.
Yeah.
Which is ruled by Pluto, can be a very, very good person. Like anything, we can use it for good or bad.
I'm a triple Leo.
Oh,
so
you like the media is what that tells me about you.
I beg your pardon?
You like the media, you like the stage.
I like it, but I don't like it, you know what I mean? I have had it all my life since I was a kid, but I realized, you know, fame doesn't, you know, make you, you know, pay the bills, but it does help. You know, notoriety, I think, is a little bit quicker. But, yeah, no, you're right. I do like the media. I don't know. I look at myself liking the media and saying, you got a hell of an ego. And I say, yeah, I guess I do. But, you know, if I could do something else more effectively and nobody ever knew me, I'd go do that in a minute. So I think I got trapped somehow in this one. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, Leos are very talented. They're generous people. They're very smart. And they're good at lots of things, but they do like the stage. Somebody has to be on the stage, and that's the Leos.
And we have to have an audience, too.
Well, absolutely. Usually people like Leos, so they want to watch them on the stage because Leos are very charismatic.
Yeah. Well, boy, you're really a nice girl. I have to hire you for my astrologer, you know.
Okay.
I just got into this tonight, you know. It's like, I wasn't really paid that. I understood it, how it works and that, but I never... You know, knowing the mechanics of it is a whole big dedicated study. I know that for a fact. Because I started to go into it, and I said, this is way over my head. I'm just a simple scientist. I'll build rockets. Leave the astrologers the people that are complicated, you know. So that's pretty interesting. Now, I have another question now. I was looking on your website. Now, by the way, do you have a book out or anything yet, or what?
No, everybody tells me I should write a book. I could probably write about 10 because I have all these ideas going through my head.
My God, this show is 1 hour long. If you were to transcribe what you said on this show into a book, you would have about a 200-page book, you know, large print, 9 by 6. You would actually have that.
Oh, my gosh, and I feel like I haven't even said anything. I have volumes more.
I understand. I'm an author. I've written a lot of books.
I'm an over-communicator. I'll admit that about myself. I will explain things 10 ways, hoping the person gets it.
Yeah, but the thing is, somebody like you, I mean, it's just JonBenet Ramsey thing and your take on it, you just turned me on to something that I never even thought about, which made total perfect sense, which then I added a couple facts. I mean, if you can get me going, and I'm a real hard-head ego freak, and you got me all rocking and rolling, you're going to rip everybody else.
Oh, well, thank you. Now, you and I would have a sun-moon tie, so you might be drawn to me because I've got the moon in Leo, you've got the sun there, so there's natural compatibility.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that out of that, we have audiences, you know. Like, you know, I have a following, and you probably do too, even though you don't know it, but from the shows you've done. And
I have my regulars, yes.
The regulars, exactly. And I'll bet you, you know, what happens is, now, this is, you know, here's the writing a book. You put it off you know, to the last moment. And pretty soon your life, every time, at least with me, every time you put this book off anymore, your life, you just, the life won't quite work. And every day is the Pluto day, you know, or Mercury retro. It's just like that. So then you start, they say, okay, I know I'm supposed to write a book. So you start writing and it gets a little lighter. But now you have to dedicate the space, you know, of a month or two or three where you just kind of let everything slide over the wayside. You just have to be a negligent person in life to get the book done. But I know all that sounds terrible, but, you know, when the book is done, you get a great reward. You feel a lot better than you did if you never wrote it in the first place. And I think you've got a book.
Thank you. Book. Maybe it's time for that information to get out there, and that's why I needed to hear that from you.
Yeah. No, I don't know what I'm saying, but, you know, I'm just crazy. You know, I maybe I'm doing my psychic work and you're doing yours.
You're reading me and I'm reading you, right?
Yeah, I like it. This is unusual. And this is the first time we've done on this show something like this, but this is great. Now I want to ask you about the next step is twin flames and twin souls. I'd like your feeling on that, if you don't mind. I saw that on your website.
I have probably a great obsession with that area because so many people come to me because of relationships, because relationships are my passion.
Right.
I've spent my life trying to understand male-female relationships.
I even felt
it was my karma.
Hold on, Jeannie. Did you ever learn anything from that's a heck of a study. You know, you women are really out there sometimes.
Wanting to study that? I think you're right, because everything I hear is that men are so simple and we try to complicate them.
Yeah, I'm
right?
Really simple. I want you to complicate me right on the airwaves here. This is good. I like it. Yeah, I'm getting real complicated. I'm learning about astrology and the JonBenét Ramsey case and all kinds of other stuff and new perspectives, and that's amazing. I mean,
well,
I'm not kidding or being funny. I'm actually blown away.
Okay.
Yeah, see what I mean? Write a book. So go ahead, tell me.
I think I've been lucky to have some good spiritual teachers who were really into energy, and that's probably when I started understanding relationships better and able to explain to my own clients that people would come and say, well, if he's my soulmate, why don't I marry him? And I would have to say, well, you might just have learning lessons together, but you're not supposed to be married this lifetime. But it doesn't dilute the relationship. It's still a good relationship.
You know what? I've had about four wives, and that's exactly what happened. You know, I didn't know that you weren't supposed to marry them. You know, I didn't know that, so I married them. And then when we realized that we were still growing and going in different directions, you know, it's the exact union thing for up to, well, one of them 13 years. And then we always parted as great friends because it wasn't hostile reasons that we were separating. We were going in different paths, and we were going somewhere. And my last three wives are very good friends with each other. They became sisters. If that isn't a strange.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's what happens to me. So
that tells me you're all very highly evolved for that to happen, to get above the human.
About 40 years ago. Then I wouldn't have had to make all these mistakes. I could have had them live with me and do it, then move on. And my God, you're really hot. You're ringing my bell tonight. I like that.
So I think the biggest thing I learned was we don't just have one soulmate.
Yeah.
We can have multiple twin flames. The twin flame is just like the other half of ourselves. But if people believe it's just one other person, I don't believe that.
Okay,
we might meet 10 people we love.
Yeah, no. Okay, let's separate this. Okay, we're talking about twin souls now, right?
Yes, meaning that, you know, the other half of yourself separated off in the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And somehow you come back together in this life.
Okay, I'm in my new book that I'm working on right now called The Inside Track. I've explained something like that similar. For a long time, you know, first of all, we're in the precession of the equinox. We're going around the Pleiades. It takes about 26,000, 27,000 years. And then we come into a higher, you know, our vibratory rate of ourselves vibrates more. So we can assimilate a whole lot more spiritually and physically. You know, we're stronger physically and we're stronger spiritually, and we're more aware of the combination than we were, say, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago, right?
Right.
So we've evolved. So now what we're coming into now, instead of going through linear, incarnations, I think at some point it splits and opens up and we do all of them at once. Like there's many side continuums, and suddenly we're looking at all our lives simultaneously versus the linear thing is over. It's not how the universe works. It's a little everything. So you're looking at parallel people on both sides of you, and which is you, then that soulmate thing sort of really rings true with me. Does that make any sense to
you? That absolutely does, yes. It's all understanding energy to understand that, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think? How, and now, what do you think about people when they meet and they consider themselves, what are the twin souls? People meet and consider themselves that way, or just a twin flame? But I know that, you know, some people think they're twin souls. Do people ever meet others and think that or not?
I get that, or people just don't know what to call it, and they'll say, oh, I'm with my soulmate, and I've been married to him 50 years, and they're sure it's their soulmate, and I say, oh, well, I believe you.
Yeah, and what happens over a period of time? Does that true? You know, that ring true, or is there a deviation, or is it average?
No, I find that some of them really believe it, and they really know in their heart that that's their soulmate for this lifetime, and it works for them.
Yeah.
But for others, they might meet multiple soulmates and have to accept that they can love that many people in one lifetime, and one gets deeper than the next.
Yeah.
Just when they think they've hit the height in love, they meet somebody that they love 10 times more.
Yeah. No, I you got me again. That was going from one to the next to the next.
Right.
Do you realize, you know, I didn't have much of a social life because I worked for the government. I didn't even date till I was like in my 20s, okay?
Wow.
So, yeah, I was what government had me, you know? And I guess emotionally, I didn't drink alcohol, do drugs or anything, but I think emotionally I was somehow retarded, and I had to go through exactly what you're describing, you know? You know, it was just everything you want, and this woman was there, and then we lived together. You know, if I actually could connect with her, you know, and we'd have this great relationship, and then it would become brother and sister, and then bye. And then, boom, this other explosion greater than the last one.
Right. Yeah. And if that happens, if you work with energy and you're vibrating at a high level, you can keep drawing in higher and higher souls.
Yeah, that's what that makes
sense. I think that's what causes it to happen, because you don't stop growing if you keep working on your spirituality.
Yeah. What does that do for Ozzy and Harriet now, though?
I don't know.
You know, if you look at the Nelson family, that was a very tumultuous, explosive family. Harriet actually lived here in Laguna, and you see what happened to the rest of them. I mean, that was an amazing family.
Yeah.
You know, theoretical physics, you know, that is so funny.
But I think people need people like Ozzy and Harriet.
Oh, I needed Ozzy and Harriet. My, you know, a military, I grew up in there, and my mother had been married my dad twice, and I was born on a second marriage to the same man. I mean, you know, I should be bipolar or something. You know, that would be a letdown. I could take a break if I was that, but unfortunately, I could remember it and could handle it, you know.
And you anyway, survived, right?
Yeah. So tell me about twin flames now.
Well, again, I think it's just more, in my mind, the concept of energetically coming together in a flame. That's what it represents to me. Many authors will describe it differently.
Yeah, how do you mean in a flame? How do I relate to that?
Literally like you're burning as one.
Wow.
That light. Again, what is a flame? It's light. So it's just the light of God, the light of the soul burning as one.
Now, how many people do you meet around that are like that with their relationship? You know, in other words, the two together.
Again, they have to be highly evolved people, but I have seen some of them, yes.
Okay, now, going across the street here and dealing with homosexuals, a lot of homosexual people, well, I live in a town full of them, and I love a lot of them, really good friends, they seem to be, a lot of them, spiritually quite high. It seems like almost, you know, they got to a spiritual level that's pretty high, or they're going there. And maybe they were bisexual for a while, but then they choose to go across because they found some other person that was like that, had made the same transition, and they unite over that, whether it be male or female. And I'm seeing more and more and more of that than I, you know, saw in the past. And so my question is, do you think that the twin flame thing can go into like sex?
I think it can. Again, I had to learn this from other spiritual teachers that were more evolved than me because I never really studied homosexuality or anything. But what I have been taught is that the more highly evolved a person is,
right,
the more there is no separation of gender.
Right.
And they can just merge and be comfortable with anybody. And so I was told, yes, they're highly evolved spiritual people.
Okay. Now,
but I don't know from personal experience or anything, but I thought, boy, that really makes sense. on my personal level, I always just thought, well, maybe they were born with their hormones different, like the chemical makeup different in the body.
Right, right.
And I'm sure that plays in. You would probably know about that, right?
Yeah, I'd know a little bit, but, you know, you could forget everything, and that's more than I ever knew. You know, I when you get into that, the heretical thing is that there are, you know, like, for example, are you familiar with Atlantis?
Yes.
Okay. So you realize, you believe that, well, even Lemuria, there was a civilization here that 12,000 years ago was highly evolved, even though they destroyed themselves, okay? Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. At the same time, if you look at our history, the Neanderthal man, you know, in Turkey and Greece and some other places in the Himalayas, we had an ape-like man running around, you know, 5,000 years ago. And, and there's evidence to that. So here we have a humanoid-type situation, and we have a very advanced situation. You follow me? Probably extraterrestrials intermingling in an Atlantean climate. Well, somewhere in there, I think that there was a crossbreeding. You know, there was a higher evolved Cro-Magnon man in a surviving Atlantean or whatever, and that created a strange genetic pool. And let's say that pool evolved and through, you know, different nations like, you know, the Scots, the English, the Brit, the Germans, older races, that came out like Arndt Krutt came out in Germany and started this huge company that makes steel, Krupp steel, and built towns and foundries, and so all that came out. But I think there's an essence of an extraterrestrial vibratory thing like nectar to a honeybee. And I think that's the genetic explanation. So it comes and goes, but it's there. You follow me?
That makes sense. It really does.
And then the next thing is the Pleiadians. I've been a contactee. I don't know if you know that or not. World renowned for this. Pleiadians live about 1,500 years of human-like. They come here to help us, but they can't get involved because karmically it'll backlash on them. Okay? They have sex and blah, 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 even though we have a long lifespan, you know, with Methuselah and people like that. You know, pro-Atlantis still had that before the genetic gene pool of energy changed and wiped that out. The Andromedans, which is the next step up, live 5,000 years, and they're an androgynous being. So I think that I've told people on my shows that there's this divine intervention, and that would be more along in the Andromedan line, which would bring an extraterrestrial back to Earth. And I think in the calling of that, bringing these powerful beings back to reset the karma here so we don't kill ourselves, which we're liable to do. It causes everybody in the androgynous vibration to come closer to a neutering in sex. And the homosexuals obviously are forming because these are spiritual people that are sensing it a lot. And it's becoming accepted now. You know, it's much more.
Yes, it is accepted now.
The
it is.
Military now is. So this is kind of my take on that.
That's deep. I like it.
Huh?
I like it. That's a deep theory. It really is. You have a lot of deep theories. I can tell that you've studied many things I haven't, and I'll be honest about that.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think you'll probably meet a lot more people out there than I will doing what you're doing in astrology and psychic work. And so if I can help you in your path in life, as you've helped my show to my ratings tonight, I'm sure they're going through the roof.
Thank you. I hope so. Wow.
Yeah, believe me, they are. This is fun because we're just doing a little horse trading, you know?
Right.
I've never played with a Libra before. You're a lot of fun.
Oh, you don't have Libra guests on normally?
No, I don't think I've ever had one.
Oh, my gosh, I wonder why.
Because I didn't know I would be out of control like I am tonight.
What signs are you normally drawn to?
I get a lot of Aries, a lot of Scorpios, a lot of Leos, a lot of Aquarians, you know, I get, but I don't get any Libras.
Well, you know, I'm a Libra with Scorpio rising and my moon in Leo, so I do have the Scorpio emphasis, so you got to draw it in there. I think anybody in psychic work has the strong Scorpio.
Yeah, that's a very, very psychic realm.
I believe Scorpio is the most psychic of the water signs of the three.
I totally agree. I don't even think it's a close second.
Right.
I totally agree with that.
Lots of psychics are Scorpio rising. It's amazing how we find that to be true.
Wow. Yeah. I'm a, what's my rising? I forgot. I know I'm a triple Leo. I think, oh, Leo rising, I think.
Right. Well, you said that you're probably Leo moon, sun, and rising,
yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah. And then a lot of Leo all through the deal. You know, I mean, I got a lot of Leos out there. I'm just a fire. I hair looks like a lion, you know. I cut it short now, but, you know, I have this curly hair, and I just literally say, oh, you're a lion. You know?
That's the way Leos are. They do. They have the lion's mane, and they're very much into their hairstyles.
Yeah, and I'm more like a kitty cat.
Okay, a good lion,
meow,
the pussy,
you know?
Cat.
Be purring and stuff. So anyway, going into twin flames and twin souls, what other observations do you make in the polarity? And what about souls that really kind of just push themselves away, not attract? Let's go the opposite route. What do you think about that?
You mean souls that won't have relationships?
Well, no, souls that just can't. You know, that's like you walk in the room and you hate each other. That kind of stuff.
You know, oh. I believe that deep down, those two people have similar issues on their insecurity level.
And they sense that.
Yes, they sense it. Like maybe they both want to be the center of attention.
I like
or they
that.
Both were abused as children or something that's uncomfortable
they see in the
other one.
Each other. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's the question. People think I know a lot about spiritual stuff. I'm just a student, you know. That question has bugged me for years. You know, I understand I can explain past lives that two people are attracted. They probably had 20 past lives and they sense it. So, but I never, you know, I could figure out the bad side of it, you know, the negative side of it, because I'm a little hard-headed on that, you know.
And that's a tough one, because at that point, usually those two people won't want to become friends.
Yeah.
Because they're uncomfortable from the beginning. We usually want to go get involved with people that make us instantly feel good.
Exactly. So my feeling is you should go for it anyway, you know, for a little while.
Right. I think to get through fears, we can make ourselves be around people that make us uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it doesn't interfere with daily life, though.
my first wife was a Scorpio. Okay, and I was only 22 or so, and I married her. She was so negative, I thought I better marry this girl. Well, she ended up getting pregnant in our marriage with somebody else's kid.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, and the marriage only lasted 2 weeks, and then in the 2 weeks she went insane, she had to be committed by the state of California. And I'm a very positive rocket scientist working at NASA, met this woman working in a candy store and married her, and she freaked out, had a nervous breakdown, and the psychologist said that she wasn't ready for marriage. So the state of California pretty much separated, so we got separated and then divorced. But I ended up paying for the entire life of that child growing up, lots of money, which she had this other guy who she had the kid with. And so that was kind of a, you know, 2 days of marriage, and then, I mean, 2 weeks of marriage and blah, 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 and then this whole incident happened. I had this, you know, kind of a weird waking up to some of the power of Scorpio. This woman sexually was powerful.
Oh, yes, Scorpio women are very powerful, very magnetic.
Look at me. I had no social life. You know, like I was saying earlier in the show, I finally was 21, I started dating a little bit, you know, because I wouldn't have to report to something. And so 2 years later, this powerful thing grabbed me, you know, and I was like, wow, you know what I mean? So after that, I woke up gradually, but I just had to share.
Well, maybe
that.
God sent her as a lesson for you to learn about women.
Yeah, it was.
That was a quick course. That way you didn't have to take years to finally learn about women.
Yeah, well, I had all this guilt, you know. What did I do to this girl and make her go crazy, you know?
Oh, you blamed yourself?
Huh?
You blamed yourself for her cheating?
Yeah, I didn't know any better. 22. And I, later, her dad was an alcoholic and died of, you know, booze problems and all of that. I didn't know all that. See? I guess I triggered. She was always negative. I just thought I could help her. You know, I kind of loved her somehow, you know, and she was cute and she worked in a candy store.
Well, Scorpios are very magnetic. They can make you feel very good, so you don't want to give up that good feeling.
Yeah.
That goes on all the time.
Oh, thank you.
I see it all the time.
I'm 64 years old, as active as ever. I've got a wonderful girlfriend now and all that. But I'm still trying to figure out what happened back then, because it kind of, you know, made a great shape in the course of my life. The science stuff and all the stuff I did there and the... That's no big deal. That's what I do. I want to know how I'm trying to, you know, I'm getting in touch with my emotions now.
Well, maybe you're still in love with her.
Huh?
Did you think about that? Maybe you're still in love with her and need to admit that.
Yeah, I probably am. But, I mean, I'm very happy with where I am now. I'm extremely happy now. But if I could ever calm her and make her happy, that would be really good. You know what I mean? I don't like to leave anybody in my wake or past, you know, in any kind of a tumultuous feeling.
Have you tried to go back and work it out with her and talk this out?
No, she doesn't want to cooperate, no.
Oh, darn.
No, total shutdown. We're talking real negative here, real negative. This woman attacked me all through the marriage, and I gave her money. She said I didn't. I had to go through this huge audit with the state of California where I was charged $26,000 because they thought that she was right during the audit. I came out. She ended up having to give me $5,000 back after 33 years of separation.
Oh, my God.
That's a heavy deal. That's what I went through. Yeah.
You had some heavy karma with that soul.
Huh?
Heavy karma with that soul.
No, I don't know whether I killed her or she killed me in a past life.
That's right. That's what I start thinking, like, oh, my, what happened before? Because you have unfinished business with her, and it would be great if she would consciously agree. Have you tried to talk to her soul on the soul level?
Maybe that's what I need to do. I don't think I really have. You know what I do? It's a good point, because being a triple Leo, you think about how you want it. You get emotional. I want it to be this way. I want to solve it. But you don't slow down and get in contact with her. It's totally touche. That's very nice. Very, very informative. Thank you, teacher.
Yeah. Yes, call her soul in and speak to her soul is what I would tell you.
I know exactly how to do that, but I've never tried. Yeah, I will now do that.
It's very simple and very effective, so I would suggest that. And just soul to soul, maybe you can make peace and mediate that way.
Yeah, yeah. My God, you're brilliant. I mean, I'm surprised you don't have your own radio show somewhere.
I did a TV show back in the 80s, and maybe I'll do a radio show someday again. I don't know.
What are you doing with yourself these days? Because we're running out of time. You know, is there give me your website real quick, please.
Okay, my website is AskGeanie, JEANNIE.net, N-E-T.
AskGeanie.net. I've got it posted up on the BBS radio show, and I'll leave it there.
Okay. If people would like to contact me, and I do counseling, I do psychic readings for people all over the country, and teach classes also.
I'll bet you're pretty good. You know, this is just a guess. I bet you, if somebody came to you with a problem with their kids or something, you could help them.
I do. I deal with all kinds of things, honestly.
That's a big deal in our society right now, because too many people have been living too out of touch with their own family, and now they're starting to wake up and realize they need to fix it.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So you need to do, yeah, I think that's great. And if you don't write a book, I'm not going to let you back on my show. Maybe you don't want to come back, but
I want to come back. I'll write the book. How's that?
Huh?
I'll channel it. Maybe it'll just come through me real fast, and I'll channel the book. How's that?
Yeah, and if you do a book, I'll help publish it for you.
Oh, thank you.
You got to write it.
I'll do it.
Yeah, and I'll help you promote it, because I think you're really good, and I think you've got a big message. And I'm telling you right now, on the air in front of a lot of people, that I will finance your first run of your books if you write it. I'll get it to me in a computer form, and I will finance it, and I'll help you sell it, because I think you're going to be a great author. I really do.
Oh, thank you. I guess I was supposed to hear that. Honest to God, I will take that message. Nothing's by accident.
I've had people on this show, and the show's only been around for a year and a couple of months. I've had people on this show who want to be authors, get a book out. We promoted it on this show, and, you know, it was the right kind of book, and it takes off. I had other people come on this show with projects that they sort of, you know, were launching, and that we were helping them to come through Tom or whatever, you know, and then they took off. You know, so I'm telling you my psychic prediction to you for giving me all this great insight tonight is you need to write a book, baby, because you're hot.
Oh, thank you, and I hope it turns into more. I hope you see that, too, because I feel like I have a lot of subjects I'd like to write on.
Yeah, well, let's get this. Listen to tonight's show. It'll be on the archive soon. Listen to it, critique yourself, and think about what it is. With that, I'll let you go. Tonight, you are listening to my little brand-new friend here, Jeanie Wilson, who is brilliant as a humanitarian with the astrological and spiritual values. We're going to rebroadcast, as I said, the Friday show, which we had a problem uploading it. We're going to rebroadcast it again this Friday. I think you're going to like the show, and I apologize for that. It was my fault, not Don's. And with that, have a great evening. This was Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show on bbsradio.com. You hear it first, baby. And if it ain't mainstream, we got it on the show. Bye.